So we're back.
Are we?
I guess. Did you find your news stories?
Yes, I've got my news. I got one.
You got one?
I got one.
So today, guys, I'm going to take over the show.
I'm terrified.
It ought to be fun.
I think it'll be great. He is so proud. He updated me. I've got 300 words. I got 500 words. I got 1,500 words. And he goes, how many are your stories normally? And I was like, 2,500. He goes,
yeah. Yeah. Respect. Okay.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
And right now I'm in the middle of writing two stories. So I keep going back and forth between the two. So we've got a pretty good lineup coming up. Of course, we've got Josh's today. And then a couple of other stories that are coming up. We have a guest that will be coming on soon. Her show is called Ghost Tracks. We're going to go over there and interview with her. And then she's going to come on ours. And I'm going to tell her it's both a paranormal and true crime story.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have...
A twofer?
It's a twofer. But it's the same story.
Pretty cool.
And then we have some other stories that I forgot. if I look rough and seem tired, I've been going since like 8 o'clock this morning. We had a 3-hour practice. Come, send May off with her coach. She went to have a team lunch, came back, picked up the other kids, went and picked May up, took Jackson to a birthday party, and finally came home.
And then I forced her to do a podcast.
Yep. He's like, let's go. And I'm like, bro, I just sat down. So you get me in all my sweaty glory.
I asked you if you wanted to take a shower.
If I took a shower, I knew I'd want to go lay down. So.
Okay. I understand.
Yeah. So here we are. So I guess it's my turn to bring the crazy news.
You ready?
Are you done crunching?
I sound like mom now.
I didn't mean to. The piece of ice was in my mouth.
So just swallow it whole. Be a man. Josh and I spent a lot of time together this week, in case you can't tell. Oh, speaking of, so Josh and I got to do, like, I had a work trip, and he got to go with me, but at a really cool location. So we got to have a little R&R while we were on this location. But... it was a 4-hour drive there and 4-hour drive back, and we spent way too much time in the car together, but we came up with a hilarious idea for Remember That. So go check out Remember That this week. We are covering Signs, and there's a little surprise in there.
Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of fun.
And I fell out of my chair again.
Again. Did you finally decide that it wasn't worth it?
I give up on life. Not really.
We could probably screw those to it.
I don't know if I want to do that. I'd probably like tip the whole chair over at that point.
You're probably right.
Better not.
You move around a lot.
I do. That's how you can tell I'm tired, because I'm not fidgeting as much right now. All right. Well, I do have one shout out to give. She's been tagging us on things, sharing. Her name is Ember Frost on Facebook. So shout out, Ember. We really appreciate it, helping us get our name out there.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Freaking awesome, man.
Speaking of that, I delivered that package for you to FedEx.
Oh, Tessa, your gift should be arriving soon.
Yeah, I sent it Friday, I believe. So.
Oh, so she might have it by today.
Possibly.
If not by Monday, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully she has it by now. Sorry it took so long. Is there any other housekeeping? I don't think so.
Housekeeping?
stuff that we have to do.
You need a fresh pillow?
Need pillow fluff?
I hate you guys. All right. Well, are you ready to hear my true crime news?
Yeah. Let's hear it.
Big X the Plug. Arrested again.
What?
And what's crazy is exactly 1 year ago to the day, he was arrested for the same charges.
Nuh-uh.
Yes.
That's crazy.
So, according to Fox 4, he was arrested by the Allen Police Department and booked into the Collin County Jail. Charges include driving while intoxicated, possession of less than 2 ounces of marijuana, and unlawful possession of a firearm.
Mm. Wow.
And exactly 1 year to the day, he got arrested for the same thing. Let's see here. So, you know, everybody's like, well, is he going to make the show? Because he had a big show coming up and everything. Well, I just seen in the comments, he has already been released and he's headed to that show to go perform.
Yeah, he probably made bail, I'm assuming.
I think it was like the Iowa State Fair, Idaho, maybe. I don't remember.
Yeah.
One of those I states, Iowa. He's headed to the Iowa State Fair to perform. So he's already released on his way.
I've never been to Iowa.
Me neither.
We need to visit some of these places we've never been.
Maybe.
Maybe we can do like a spooky trip or something next year.
Does Iowa have a lot of cornfields?
I don't know. I know Nebraska supposedly does.
I don't know either. We just alienated our Iowa listeners.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
Idaho has potatoes, though, right?
Huh?
Yeah, they're known for their
potatoes. Idaho has potatoes.
Now you're just creating stereotypes, okay?
Oh.
You're reaching his straws now.
I'm sorry.
I mean, that's just what people told us. We don't know that for a fact.
And Wisconsin has cheese or cheese heads. See,
there you go again.
Well, we're the Rose City capital.
Yeah, well, that's...
That's because we have a rose garden in Tyler.
Because we're the Rose City capital.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can go out there and pick any rose you want.
I don't think they allow that anymore.
They used to.
I don't think they do anymore.
I don't know.
They'd probably, like, tackle you if you tried to pick their roses. So our...
Pretty sure they don't have security there.
Well, funny FYI. So our senior class was the last class from Brownsboro that was allowed to have their senior prom at the Rose Garden.
Oh, they did it my year.
Well, that was a few years later.
Yeah.
We got banned because... I didn't go to that prom. I didn't go to my senior prom. I just went to my junior prom. But I guess they did a little havoc around there, frolicking through the roses a little too much, and they got in trouble.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Me either. Sounds about normal. Why are you in here? Why do you always interrupt our recording?
Because I'm trying to be quiet. Shut up.
Just grab your stuff real quick.
Mama didn't want to be loud.
We weren't very sneaky either.
I know that picked her up. I'm putting her in this time.
Well, next time, maybe you should just wait till we're done. That sounds like a you problem. Nope.
Our clothes are soaking wet, dude.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. I didn't see you tell me put them on there in heavy duty mode. All I seen was, Dad, can you throw these in the dryer for me? Yeah, sure. Okay. I didn't see anything else. Sorry. At least I put them in the dryer for you. I told you no.
There you go. You can't complain too much because at least they made it to the washer.
They made it in the dryer. Shit, I just didn't put them in heavy duty mode.
Oh. So they're still wet.
Supposedly.
Allegedly.
Well, you'll dry them out while you're working in that hot kitchen. I'm sorry, baby. I didn't realize you told me to do that. Sorry.
Blow dry.
Yep. Use a blow dryer.
Set them outside for a little bit. They'll dry real quick.
Good point.
Remember when May stuck her socks out the window on the way to the district game because they were still wet?
Mm-hmm.
Air dry, man.
It worked. Her socks were dry by the time we got to Rust.
I've done it before.
It works.
Mm-hmm.
I've dried hats off. You know, you can get your hat soaked from working in the heat. Just hanging out the window while you're going on the road. Hot air will dry it out.
Yep. Do what you gotta do.
Yep.
All right. So, now that we were rudely interrupted, you've got a story.
I do have a story. So, not too long ago, we covered a movie I'll remember that, called Christine. Audrey's seen it. Do you remember that movie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, as our listeners know, it's a story about a car that seems to have evil, murderous intentions.
Mm-hmm.
So, I wrote a story. When I was doing some research about that movie, I found some information on one car in particular that seemed to kind of have a very relevant story to that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what led me to do this. And I also found that it's not just one car. There's several different cars that throughout history have had a lot of different things associated with them like this. So have you guys heard any other stories besides that one?
Just the one off of Supernaturals with James Dean.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's actually supposedly a story, too. Yeah. That was one I ran across. And then there was another guy like Sir Francis Ferdinand or something like that.
Ferdinand?
Yeah.
Ferdinand the Bull?
Yeah, but he had like a really old car, but it was supposedly evil or something like that. But anyway, this is a story about a car called the Golden Eagle.
Every time you say this is a story, all I can think about is the Will Smith.
Will Smith?
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah. This is a story all about how.
That's all I can hear every time you say, this is a story. I'm waiting for you to break out into it.
It almost felt as if the factory never slept. Even in the early hours of the day, the building shook with the sound of machinery, the screams of steel being stamped out against its will. Chains rattled overhead. The welders arced with shades of white and blue, briefly illuminating rows of unfinished cars as they slowly crawled along the assembly line. The hot, damp air smelled of hot metal, rubber, oil, and gasoline. Hundreds of men labored beneath the overhead lights, disappearing and reappearing in the flashes of molten steel. No one said much, but the machines... Dang it. No one said much. The machines were just too loud. There were no power tools, no CNC machines, just hard manual labor, and the negativity to go with it. At the farthest end of the building sat a deep glossy red 1958 Plymouth Fury. The body lines were perfect, not a blemish could be seen. The chrome trim running along the side, catching the light as it moved towards the end of the line. A worker stood next to the clipboard, next to the line, with clipboard in hand. He'd been there for years. He'd seen thousands of cars roll out the doors, but never one quite like this. As he leaned in to check the VIN number on the frame, something wasn't right. Suddenly, the hood falls on his hand that he'd placed to stabilize himself, crushing it. But production doesn't stop. As the man is led off, we see another take his place. No time lost, fed by a disposable workforce. The car door opens, the interior immaculate, covered in plastic to protect it. The man sits down in the driver's seat and feels the steering wheel as if it was calling to him. He reclines the seat, lights a cigar. As the cigar slowly burns, the man turns on the radio and ashes in the plastic-covered seat. The radio works as we hear Buddy Holly's Not Fade Away. We then see a man check his watch. It's nearly 5:00. Suddenly, the whistle sounds. It's quitting time, or beer 30, if you will. As the factory slows to a stop, the lights dim, and the sounds of the machines die down, we hear Not Fade Away in the distance. One man turns to locate the source. He finally finds the car and opens the door. That's when we see it. This car, this specific car, is something out of the ordinary. The man that was in the car slumps out of the driver's seat, cigar in hand. Dead.
Dead. It was fatal. How fatal.
Deadly. This is the story of Christine, Stephen King. This is the story of Christine, Stephen King's horror novel and 1983 movie, a cult classic and phenomenal movie. But is this just a story? Or can this possibly be inspired by truths? Could a car really have bad intentions? Or could negative energy or even a spirit attach itself to a vehicle of all things? What do you guys think?
This is what I think. I better not hear you say one word about me stumbling over my stories.
Look, I keep trying to look over my microphone.
Oh, yeah? Yeah? Imagine doing that, watching the audio, watching the video. Not another word from you. That was a really good movie, and you did a really good job of summarizing the beginning of it. I mean, can you... It's hard to imagine objects that are evil, I guess. I mean, you see the ghost, you hear about the demons and stuff, but then you hear about all these haunted objects. And I know Christine is a made-up story, but at the same time, these people bring antiques into their homes, and there's things connected to it. And the fact that you don't know how that happens, why, is pretty creepy. You never know when you're going to bring something into your house.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I felt about it, too. Like, the more I did the research on this particular story, the more I kind of started looking towards that. Because, I mean, if you think about cars when they were built in those time periods, it wasn't the easiest place to work.
Yeah.
Everything was manual labor. You hated your job. You were always angry, so everything in that factory was negative. So all that negative energy could always feed into something like that.
Yeah. And then you have one little accident, and then that kind of creates, and then you have, again, I know it's made up, but then you have Mr. Cigar Guy over there, and mm-hmm. he dies. Well, then that's one injury and one death. Like you said, if he hated working there, obviously he wasn't happy about it. He flicked his cigar onto the seat, so mm-hmm. not really, to me, that's not showing much pride or much love. And I think that's why a lot of hospitals and prisons are the way they haunted, the way they are.
Oh, they absolutely are.
I do believe that, like, when a soul endures enough torture or a traumatic event, doesn't matter if it's a place or a thing. Like, look at the Annabelle doll. That's supposedly completely 100% haunted, mm-hmm. possessed. You can't even touch it.
Yep.
Or can you?
Well, supposedly the story's
already. Yeah, I know. Yeah. We covered the Annabelle. Yep.
And I guess I need to be more careful when we go do those things, because I kind of push the limit sometimes.
Yeah, because I have my own ritual of when we go somewhere. And even so, we went on I can't remember if we mentioned it on here. We took Jackson with us on a little, it wasn't really necessarily a ghost hunt. It was more of like a ghost walk and history of Mineola. And originally we were supposed to take the girls, and I kind of was explaining them like my ritual of things when we go to do these things. You know, I, one, pray to God and then wrap myself with a protective ribbon. I set very clear boundaries. You know, you're not allowed to attach me to me. You're not allowed to follow me home. I'm okay with touching on my arm if I ask for it. Like, I set very clear boundaries, because kind of just like the one wish willow on Obsession, be careful what you ask for. If you're like, yeah, I'm okay with you touching me, well, then they're going to touch you whatever they want. Mm-hmm. So you've got to make sure to set those boundaries, to whereas you walk in and you're just like, open book, here I am, let's go.
Right.
And it terrifies me. And we got two totally different vibes, because I went through my ritual when we went to Haunted Hill House, and you didn't. You just mm-hmm. showed up. And there was a lot of times where you felt more sinister vibes, and I didn't. Is that because I set intentions and you didn't?
It's always a possibility.
Or is it because I party with demons anyways? So I was
you were right there at home.
Yeah, definitely interesting.
Or it could have been that you two were just experiencing two different entities.
Yeah.
I mean, that's always a possibility, too.
But is that because I set intentions and said, I'm okay with this, not okay with that, and he didn't?
Yeah.
You know, so that allows different entities to approach us.
Right. You're going to interact differently.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's...
Something it makes you gotta total be careful.
Sense. Yeah. And I need to do that, because I really don't. I go in there and I really am an open book. And, I mean, I have literally said, you can touch me, things like that. And I have had some experiences in the past, but nothing that really scared me. But there's always that off chance.
And I have had an experience to where I was scared. I don't think I've talked about it on the podcast, but there was two separate instances where I literally felt fear for my life from an unseen force. Maybe one day I'll talk about it. I don't know. That's kind of opening up a lot of personal trauma. But to have that feeling to where you legit fear for your life, and it's not even your life. That's what's crazy is maybe not, I didn't even fear for my life. I felt fear for my spirituality, to be honest. Like, it was just terrifying. Mm-hmm. And like I said, that's only happened twice, and I don't want it again. And so because I have felt that, I feel like I'm more careful than what you are.
Mm-hmm. I could see that.
Things can attach, you know, especially if you don't set that boundary. But I often wonder, here's my question to that whole flip side of that. It's kind of like how, you know, in Supernatural, when Bobby died, and the longer he was here, the more detached he became. So
from
the more
humanity,
evil he became. So
yeah.
Maybe not all spirits and hauntings start out that way. Maybe the intent in the beginning, like freshly into it, is like more human.
Mm-hmm.
But as you detach, you become more darker.
You lose that humanity.
Yeah.
And I firmly believe in the saying, if you're a jerk in life, you 100% can be a jerk in the afterlife too.
Yeah.
So.
That makes sense.
Yep. Personality.
Yep.
So, like I said, when we were doing the movie, I ran across this story. And it kind of made me wonder if maybe at some point, maybe that was kind of in the back of Stephen King's mind when he wrote this book about this car, because some of the stories around this car are just insane.
No, I'm going to tell you what was in the back of his mind.
Drugs.
Cocaine.
Cocaine and hookers.
Cocaine and alcohol. Blowing strippers.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and that's, you know, everybody's theory is around him being so whacked out of his mind when he wrote that book.
Yeah.
But it's such a good book.
Oh, it really is. It's very twisted. So. I mean, a lot of his are.
They really are. In Stephen King's home state of Maine, there was him. One such vehicle. Did I say it weird?
He said in Stephen's home.
His home. Sorry.
I'm going to rewind it. I'm going to rewind it and put it in.
I'm not going to be able to talk now. In Stephen King's home state of Maine, there was one such vehicle. In Old Orchard Beach, Maine, a 1964 Dodge 330 had been purchased by local law enforcement agency. Its purpose was to become a new police cruiser. They gave it a name, the Golden Eagle. The 50s and 60s were a time when cars were built with a style that is still admired today. The mid-60s became a time when cars seemed to be pushing limits thought not possible, and still hold their own to this day. The Golden Eagle was plenty powerful and nimble enough, and some say evil enough, to have inspired a Christine-esque story. The Golden Eagle has been allegedly linked to more than 20 deaths, the first victims being three police officers. The first officer died in a murder-suicide after what friends and neighbors described as a sudden mental break. The second lost control on a dry road in the middle of a clear day, and the car flipped several times before landing on its roof. The third officer was found dead in his own home. He was shot several times and his service weapon was missing. The local population began to tell stories of a demon car that seemed to hate the police, but this would soon be proven wrong. There were reports of doors slamming on their own and many other strange coincidences. The police department put the car up for auction and sold it to a local family.
They said, this is your problem now.
Right? So, like, if you heard that there was a car for sale that had like murderous intentions, would that make you want to buy that car just for like the scare factor?
Well, that's just like houses, you know. You hear about these houses where they've had these awful tragedies, murders, suicides, both in them. And sometimes they'll drop the prices way down because they can't sell it. But I think because it's more acceptable now, the taboo's more acceptable. Mm-hmm. I think it might do the opposite now. You have those weirdos that want to have access to that just because of the possibility that something mm-hmm. could be attached.
It's funny you mention that someone would want to do that because of, you know, the way that times are now. But the person that purchased it after this purchased it pretty quickly afterwards. And it was because of she wanted the story, basically. Yeah.
And so just so I could make sure I was following, there were three police officers. There's one murder-suicide, there was one rollover accident, right. And then one wasn't killed in the car, but at home. Wasn't
killed in the car, but at home.
Okay.
Right. And I, for the life of me, I looked to see if I could find sources that actually mentioned who these police officers were, when like these happened. Like death records
and stuff?
All I can find is stories.
Okay.
So I can't for 100% say that this is a true story.
I gotcha.
But it's a good story. It's a really good story.
Hey, that's fun too.
The Allen family lived outside of town and that morning woke up, had breakfast, and headed into town. They headed to the auction and purchased the Golden Eagle for pennies on the dollar. They were extremely excited to have gotten a barely used car for the price they paid. When they got home, though, they noticed the family dog was terrified of the car. It wouldn't go anywhere near it.
Which I already see the plot hole here. If there was one in a rollover accident, chances are that car is totaled.
Right. But I think in some stories that I read, people are saying that it's possible that they had taken parts from that car and put it on another car. The whatever evil intentions were transferred throughout that process. And that kind of plays throughout the car's life as well.
Okay.
People kind of have that same premise.
That's kind of like our theory for the new Christine and tearing it apart. And then is every car that's made out of those parts then haunted?
Right. And who knows? I mean, if that is possible, I mean, it's kind of a neat idea.
Yeah, a neat premise.
And it's definitely a cool idea to make a sequel.
And then do they turn into the, like, what was it, the Transformers? So you have all these pieces and then they're like, let's group together. And they come together and make one gigantic car.
It's interesting that you say that too, because now we have self-driving cars and AI.
Yeah.
So if for some reason, all of a sudden, we have some evil taking over that stuff, we're screwed.
iRobot? have we seen iRobot?
I mean, military guidance systems and all
I mean,
that.
There's all kinds of crazy things that could happen if, for, you know, any unknown reason that would happen. But personally, I don't see something like that happening. But you never know.
So what's the heart of the car? So say you there's one part that's most likely to be haunted.
One part that you're most likely going to be able to salvage in a wrecked car would be the transmission and engine.
So you say transmission or engine, and I guess my take is not necessarily the heart of the car, but what I think might be connected, and this is probably completely crazy and wrong, would be the radio because of the music and the emotional attachment to the radio.
I like where you're going with that.
I think maybe the radio would be the most haunted part.
And that could possibly be part of it, because the radio would survive most stuff incidences, like that, I suppose, unless you had a really bad accident. But also, cars were built a little bit different back in those days, too, and they survived a lot of
the wrecks.
Crazy crashes that a lot of the cars we have now, just they're designed to crumple and allow you to survive the crash. Well, back then, the car survived the crash, but a lot of the time, you didn't.
Yeah.
And that was partially because there weren't seatbelts. The seatbelts they did have were just lap belts, so you just beat your head all in on the inside of the car.
Yeah.
It was made of metal.
Right.
You know, there was no padding back then. The steering wheel would kill you. No, most of the time there wasn't power steering, no power brakes, stuff like that. So a lot of stuff was a lot more manual. Your car nowadays You can drive it like you're literally an F1 race driver. But back then, if you tried to drive a car like that now on the street, you're going to wreck. I mean, that's just the difference in the cars now.
Yeah.
Wendy Allen didn't seem to mind. In fact, she kind of appreciated the history of the car. For some time, the Allens would hear strange noises coming from the garage. Sometimes there would be strange metal noises, sometimes music. There would be times when the headlights would come on, seemingly for no reason. One night, they woke up with the car idling, with the key still hanging on the hook. Neighbors started to notice odd things about the car as well. On a few occasions, they claimed to have seen a dark figure in the car that seemed to follow you as you passed by. The Allen children said that the car seemed to have a strange hum about it, almost as if the car were breathing. Eventually, the car was parked. It's not said why, but one can only speculate. But the car wasn't done. Over the next several years, people would stop by and vandalize the car, and eventually meet their demise. One of the first is said to have been killed just a few days later when he was hit by a semi-truck. Another is said to have crashed his dirt bike into a telephone pole, and a third was struck by lightning while fishing. By this time, the area of Old Orchard Beach started to whisper about a new myth. A killer car by the name of the Golden Eagle. This isn't the only car to exist, however. There are countless stories from all over. Some claim demonic possessions to just some cars having strange energy about them. With stories telling of being chased by a driverless car, to even an apparition behind the wheel with demonic eyes. Stories of haunted cars have been around for ages. James Dean's Porsche is one such car. It killed him in 1955 in a high-speed crash. But the story doesn't end there. Every person that had a hand in repairing the car were involved in tragic accidents as well. The tow truck driver was smashed when the car rolled. There were two people that bought parts from it and died sometime after in car accidents. Even on the set of Christine, there were strange occurrences. On one occasion, a car parked on level ground rolled on its own, smashing through film equipment. In one instance, one of the stunt drivers lost control when the steering column suddenly locked. Another car mysteriously was found miles away after being parked for the night. At one point, a storage building caught fire and the only cars burnt were the Christine's. By the time the movie wrapped, there were several cars that vanished. Years later, one was found in a junkyard. Over the years, Wendy has documented several unconfirmed deaths by the Golden Eagle. In one instance, her cousin was crushed and died when the car suddenly fell on him. There are also reports of people mocking the car online and reporting accidents, illnesses, and even deaths. In the 2000s, a group of local church members broke onto the property and began to destroy and dismantle it, pouring holy water on it and calling it the devil's work. Sounds about right, doesn't it?
Yeah. I'm just picturing, like, a preacher out there with, like, old ladies going, devil car, devil car.
I was thinking the same thing. Like, this is the craziest thing I've ever read. Like, wow, really? And, like, you know, there's a lot of these accounts are from Wendy's perspective, and I don't know the lady personally, but there's so many people that have stories that kind of corroborate her, and then there's also the same amount of people that call her crazy.
So
it's kind of hard to be on one side of that story, you know, and make real sense of it,
right?
Without any kind of corroborating evidence or anything like that. But I mean, these are just the accounts mostly of Wendy.
I gotcha.
There, some of these are accounts from people in the town. They, you know, of course, they have their local legends that they talk about. So, and within 50 years, actually probably 60 years, because that was in the 60s.
Maybe she was trying to meet Ed and Lorraine Warren. And she's like, maybe if I have this haunted-ass car, Ed and Lorraine Warren has not done that. So they'll come.
Right. Well, and that's one thing. Like, if that was the one thing that kind of made me think that maybe this wasn't true, because there isn't anything tied with them to this car.
Yeah.
And with a story like this, you would assume that somebody like them would be associated with that car because they were.
Which that may be, I'm looking it up now, that may be a little bit before Ed and Lorraine Warren. Weren't they the 70s?
Well, this car has had a long history, and with the movie coming out in 1983, it would have just made the
1970s and 1980s is when the Warrens were like peak case investigators. Yeah. So
maybe they just missed this case, or maybe they just dismissed this case.
Yeah. Again, if you can't collaborate any of that, then yeah, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was one thing. It kind of disappointed me that I wasn't able to find, like, real evidence on this, because this is, like I said, it's a really cool story that I found. And even if it is, like, myth or local legend, it's still fun to talk about.
Still really cool. And it makes you think, like we discussed earlier, things being connected.
Yeah. And it kind of makes you think outside the box a little bit.
Yep.
Which is fun. You know, you let your imagination go. They then hauled the remains to the scrapyard. But over the next several months, Wendy rebuilt the Golden Eagle. Years have passed since the final incidents, but the story of that car has never truly disappeared. The people that knew what happened remembered things differently. Some believe it was nothing more than a series of unfortunate coincidences. Others believe there was truly something wrong with the car. Today, the car is there like a beacon of what's to come. It wasn't destroyed. It wasn't abandoned in some forgotten junkyard. It wasn't lost to history. It's still sitting there, carrying with it every mile, every accident, and every tragic death connected to its past. To most people, it's nothing but a rusty old car, a collection of metal, glass, rubber, and rust. But to others, the ones that know the real story, look at it differently. Because they don't just see a car. They see all the tragedies that happened behind the wheel of that death machine. Maybe every tragedy was a simple coincidence. Maybe there was a mechanical explanation behind every incident. Maybe there was never anything supernatural about the car at all. But then again, how many coincidences must happen before coincidences stop being the appropriate answer? The car is still there. It still sits patiently, waiting. And as long as it is, one question remains. Was the car ever really the killer? Or was something inside it waiting for the next person to turn its key?
Yeah, again, it just makes you wonder. To me, like you said, it'd be a lot more interesting to be able to see, like, death certificates actually connected to the car. And even really old stories, like I'm fixing to do the one with ghost tracks. The story took place back in the 1860s. That's a long time ago.
That's a really long time ago.
But there's death certificates and birth certificates and marriage certificates. And just, I mean, it may not be able to corroborate the whole story, but you can at least get little pieces of it. And for it to happen that long ago, and this only happened in the 1960s, no, they didn't keep records like they do now, but there should at least be...
Yeah, you would think
something.
Even like news clippings, you know, you would think you'd find something like that or a story about a demon car in the news.
Yeah.
Because they love that kind of stuff.
But again, that was the 1960s.
It was the 60s.
So that's before the Warrens. That's before this was really accepted.
It was also before the National Enquirer.
Maybe it was probably a little... They try to shy away from that.
Probably like, so.
It's a lot more taboo.
Yeah.
Like nowadays, that's all you hear on the news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
But that was my story, guys.
Well, I liked it. True or false, I liked it.
I thought it was interesting. It was kind of fun to research that.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't find anything, you know, that really had any real evidence, it was still a fun little rabbit hole to go down.
Yeah, for sure. And again, it just makes you wonder what makes some items haunted and some items not.
I don't know. I wish I knew what was causing my eyes to water.
You're tearing up because you did such a good job. You're just like, I'm so amazing.
What it is, dust in the wind.
You don't have to cry.
There's no crying in baseball.
Well, that was a good job, babe.
Thank you.
Do you think you'll ever tackle a true crime case?
I don't know. This was a lot. Like, I don't type. And that was 1,600 words. That was a lot.
He does this when he types.
Yeah, I literally two finger type.
It drives him nuts when we're watching a movie and I'm taking notes and I'm like watching the movie and typing at the same time. He's like, what are you doing? But I also type for a living, so.
Yeah, I don't hardly ever use a computer. Well, I use one a lot more now than I ever did before.
Yeah. Well, that was a good story.
Thank you.
Very interesting. Guess I'll have to wait for another 3, 4, 6 months for the next one.
We'll see. I found another case today that kind of interested me.
That one that you sent me?
Yeah.
Well, that's a true crime.
Mm-hmm. I'll look into it. Because that one doesn't have like a whole bunch of details. So maybe we can kind of do like a double true crime episode. I'll tell one story, you tell another.
Little ones that don't have a lot of information.
Some short ones, yeah.
Well, speaking of episodes, I think I finally remembered. We do have a lot of spooky episodes coming up. We're getting so close to Halloween. We have some ideas for Halloween.
Yep.
Hopefully we'll make another ghostly trip to a little field trip maybe with us and do another investigation. If you have any places that you know of or that you can get us access to, we'll take it.
Yep.
Of course, again, thank you everybody for following, liking, commenting. It does nothing but help. Josh is still passing out this business card. So if you get one from him, take a picture of it, send it to us, tag us, and we'll send you a little goodie bag as a thank you. Again, liking does the most and commenting. Don't forget to subscribe, share with your friends. All the good things.
All those good things, yeah.
Oh, our link tree. So I made an update on our link tree. It's now pinned on our Facebook page. You can find us, I think it's called The Guilty and the Ghostly Podcast on Facebook. And I have our link tree pinned to the top. And you can now submit your sinister submission. You can also submit case suggestions. And if you want to be a guest on the podcast, it's got 3 different forms that you can fill out there. For any of those to get them directly to us to make it easier. We have a Discord, find it in the show notes, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all those things are there. Our Cattle Lake TikTok kind of small blow up, but blew up pretty decently.
It did pretty good.
I was surprised.
It did pretty good. I think our next time, the idea that we came up with the other day.
Yeah.
That's going to go pretty good.
It was another trip or another idea from our 4-hour trip.
Yeah. We had a lot of time to talk.
Yeah. We shouldn't be left alone together that long. All right. Well, again, don't forget to go follow Remember That. It's also on our link tree. We have some good movies coming up. We just did Signs. I forgot how good that movie is. We loved it.
Is that the one with the aliens?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's got Mel Gibson, Joaquin Phoenix.
Which is why our alien over there has a tinfoil hat.
Yeah, he's got a tinfoil hat now.
Go watch Remember That and you'll see why.
Yeah.
So, I guess that's it for now. Join us next week where the guilty confess.
And the ghostly never rest.
Bye, guys.
See you later.
The guilty and the...